WDIY Headline News. Voting fraud and vote tampering have been politicized in the media on a national stage in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic with mail-in ballots and absentee voting. This concern became a reality with the recent Pennsylvania primary and the contested race for representative of the 22nd District here in Allentown. Tonight, we continue the story of candidate Anid Santiago to share her struggle to get on the ticket and the aftermath still ongoing. Here is a review of the real voices involved in this incredible story.
I'm very, very alarmed at what appears to have happened here in Lehigh County and specifically in Allentown for last month's primary. We all know that our state is under a microscope because of the general election in November. And we've all heard allegations of voter fraud or of anticipated voter fraud from different candidates, and even from the methods of that people use to vote, even the attacks on vote by mail. The issue of cleaning up elections or operating and running secure elections is not a partisan issue. It's not an issue for Republicans or Democrats. It's an issue for Americans.
Fearless Fire Station was our largest polling location. We find out that they were absolutely not ready. The machines were not set up. We have judge of election, a young judge of election, that was not properly trained. He had another judge trying to train him literally at 7 o'clock when it was time to open. So that was frustrating. And I want to make something very clear. I am not blaming any poll worker or judge of election for anything that went wrong. Besides Ms. Erica Bickford from the Government Center, every other person did exactly what they were trained to do or lacked of. If they were not trained, they had no training. They just had to figure it out. So I do want to be very clear on that. I don't ever want anyone to believe that I am attacking them for what happened on June 2nd, but a lot of stuff went on.
So do you remember in the training the county people telling you whether you were allowed to fill in a ballot for a voter or take a ballot and alter it in any way?
I don't remember the exact training to deal with the ballots, but it's just generally understood that it once you hand it to the voter, it's the voters. You don't answer questions about it. You can't say who's running, who's not running, your opinion on any of it. The voter has to put the ballot in the voting machine themselves. Occasionally we do get asked for help, and we can't answer any questions about the candidates or what's going on. Even if it comes to what party they belong to, we're not allowed to alter any ballots, talk about the candidates, register them, get them the correct ballot, have them fill it out, and clean up, sanitize the area.
Well, yeah, I'd like to know each one. Do you remember how many voters you helped by trimming the bottom?
Maybe about 10 or 20, because the bottom wasn't tearing from the pad. And I told Tim that later in the evening that we were having problems with the pads tearing. They weren't separating the right way.
Okay, and then there were some voters whose circles, you say, were not dark enough?
Were not dark enough to be red.
Yeah.
Totally.
How many do you think of those you helped during the day?
Maybe 10 at that. That's it.
You produced no spoiled ballot pile envelope for the...
There were none that were rejected permanently from the machine.
Because the ones that were rejected, you wrote on them.
I didn't write on them.
What does that mean, to darken them if you're not writing
on them? That's not writing on them.
Did you use a pen?
That was a pen, but it wasn't writing on it. It was merely darkening the voter's ballot. I altered no ballots. Had I altered any ballots, she wouldn't have won the third ward 2-1.
Mr. Tinvenio says, where is the voter? That was his first question. And her reply was, I don't know, they left. And then he proceeds to tell her, you can't do that. You cannot be filling in a blank ballot. You cannot be having a voter's ballot in your hands. You cannot do that. So she rebuttals with, I'm just trying to help. And I believe she stopped at that point. However, he didn't take the ballot. He didn't do anything else. And I remember I looked at him and I said, what are you doing? Are you not going to do anything else? She is falsifying a ballot. How many did she falsify already? And he just looked at me and said, "I'm sorry," and walked away.
What did you say to her when you noticed her with two ballots and a pen in her hand? And Mark, you know.
Most of the testimony was very accurate. I believe I said that she can't do that and that she needs to stop.
Did you ask her if there was a voter around?
I'm sorry, a voter?
Yes, I asked her if there was a voter. I said, "Where's voter attached to that ballot?" Basically. And there was no voter.
So when you say it appeared that she was marking them, what makes you believe that that's what she was doing? Did you notice her doing it?
A high confidence that she was marking those ballots, yes.
Welcome, Anid.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you for making time for WDIY.
Absolutely.
Please continue to share your recollection of events that happened on June 2nd of the Pennsylvania primary.
We caught Ms. Erica Beckford red-handed, not darkening circles as she has kept on claiming, but filling in a blank ballot. As Mr. Tim Benio and myself testified at the public hearing, we found out that fraud was done. It was committed. It was not a secret. The executive of the Board of Election witnessed it with me, and nothing was done. Nothing was done. The solicitor for the Board of Election was notified. He was in the building and still didn't do anything. And this was at noon. Nothing was done. It was almost like every safety net that was put in place to make sure that nothing went wrong was taken apart and allowed everything to go wrong, if that makes any sense. We start getting calls on our live. We're live again. We have been live the entire day streaming. Nadia Palestino, she still is a volunteer for the campaign. Just an amazing job at making sure that we were transparent and we were letting know everybody. Everybody knew what was going on election day because we were just that transparent. She's on a live and she starts getting messages that they're turning away voters because they have two last names. So we are trying to collect these voters and bring them back. And by the way, this was not just one polling location, but one polling location that we were able to get the voter, bring her back and have her vote was, again, at the government center. That was frustrating. It was an elderly lady who had been voting there her entire life, and she could not understand why she was told that she couldn't vote, that her name was not there. She was not offered a provisional ballot, and nobody really went out of their way to help her. We ended up bringing that voter back almost at 7:30 at night, and she was able to cast a ballot after my volunteer, again, Nadia, went inside with her, translated. She was Spanish-speaking only voter. They had the computer flipped over, the poll worker, and Nadia was able to put a hyphen in between her two last names, and boom, her name pops up. It was like, how many people did they turn away like this? We're talking 7:30 at night, and we just thought this poll worker what to do to have the names pop up. But again, they were not even offered a provisional ballot for them to have the opportunity to vote if it was a mistake. That was something very frustrating that we did not catch on until the very end of the night. And we found out after election the amount of people that were turned away with that incident. We found out the lack of training that happened for the elections on June 2nd. We actually had a judge of election testify of the lack of training. Her entire team was not on an email with a virtual training. How many other teams were not there? So we definitely had a really, really, really tough June 2nd. With a lot of issues happening throughout the entire day, from voters being turned away to flat-out election fraud to incorrect provisional ballots that happened at the Atlanta bus terminal. They received the incorrect provisional ballots. So we had voters that were voting on a ballot that was not even for their district. It was for the 132nd district. So my name was not even on the ballot at all, or my opponents for that matter. Election day was not what we expected, to say the least. I mean, we had then, on top of all that, an hour after elections, we are watching live, and we see that it says 100% reporting for the 22nd district. And I'm never going to forget the number that I had. It was 666, 666. And my whole team, their jaw dropped. I'm never going to forget their faces. And they say, how? We were there. We've seen the voters. How? Later on the next day, we get information from the Board of Election that it was a glitch in the system that ended up showing that it was 100% reporting with me losing 3-1. We ended up with a number that was 55. That is the number that we're still down right now after being called a race that we had lost. I mean, at no point in time did we have my name not with a green arrow next to it, or without the opponent's name, without a green arrow next to him, as if he had won the race from the second that the poll location closed. So it was tough. Election day was definitely very tough, and here we are. You know, we're talking August, and we're still talking about the primaries for the 22nd district.
Well, you're alleging something happened in the primary. What would you do to change it?
A lot of training has to take place. Absolutely, there was not enough training. We found that out through all the judges of elections that testify. We need training, number one. We need bilingual Spanish-speaking poll workers at high districts that have Spanish-speaking population, or any other native population that does not speak English properly, or that has a really high density of another nationality. And I'm going to stick to the 22nd district because this is the one that I know and the one that I've been studying. If we have a 70% Latinx population, we should have bilingual polling workers at every single polling location, period. You need to go out there and you need to find them. We need to have a higher budget from the Board of Election. Mr. Phil Armstrong needs to give more budget for elections, election safety. We absolutely should be able to know exactly what happens. All these poll workers should know that they're not allowed to touch ballots. All the judge of elections should know that they're not allowed to touch ballots. We have testimonies of judge of elections that were not even trained, had to be trained on election day. So we need training, we need bilingual, and we need accountability. If you see something, you have to do something. We can't just ignore it and leave it alone.
You mentioned social media. How was that a help to your campaign?
The Board of Elections has a social media page that I didn't even know existed until I started running for office. My entire campaign was run on social media. We had a very limited budget. We were outspent 10 to 1. Our budget was really all social media. We focused 100% on social media. We had daily lives with constituent services, letting the community know what is going on and what resources are out there for you, reminding them on election day, reminding them of voting by mail, and literally getting on the phone and answering messages all day, nonstop, to anyone that had any questions. Social media was huge.
What surprised you in the election process?
My biggest surprise definitely was when I witnessed with the chief executive clerk the fraud that was happening in front of us and the lack of action. That was something that to this day still bothers me. How do we see fraud happening and we walk away and let that person sit in there for another 8 hours and not even follow up on them? I mean, we found out through the public hearing that they didn't even send anyone to check on this person, to keep an eye out. We already witnessed a fraud. It was not an accident. It was not maybe. It was flat out. We witnessed this, and there was nothing done. Nobody was sent upstairs to follow up on this. Nobody was sent upstairs to just sit down and just pay attention, make sure that everything is going okay and that everybody's following rules. Nothing was done at all.
And it looks like the next step is for the DA, Martin and A.G. Shapiro.
Yes. Exciting. The case was sent over to the district attorney and to the attorney general. It was a unanimous decision. They came up with the decision in less than 10 minutes. So it was very, very easy for the Board of Election, after being put under pressure, to see what happened here. We're absolutely not done. My attorney's working on different avenues right now as to what is the next step. So there's not a lot that I could say. However, I do want to make something very clear in a lot of people have been asking me this, which is why I'm going to go ahead and publicly say this. I do not believe that Erica Beckford was the only person involved in this. I believe she was just the smallest fish in the ocean. She's the fall person. And it saddens me to an extent that everything has fallen on her because she was not the only person that failed the voters of the 22nd District and the entire city of Allentown, for that matter, on June 2nd. Many people did. I mean, we found out that the Board of Election was aware of my formal complaint, was aware of the fraud, was aware that the name of their top executive was listed as my witness, and they decided to certify an election without any investigation. That is very troubling for me, and I'm hoping that not just the district attorney, but the attorney general pay attention to those details.
How important is the community support for your campaign?
It's everything. I would not be here without my community. There is just no chance that I will be here. I am a first-time candidate. I have never ran for political office. I don't have all the bells and whistles. I don't have the money that is needed to run a campaign. The only reason we made it this far is because the community want to change. They still do. I mean, they still do. They're still active. Every time that I go on a live, everybody jumps in. Every time that I stop by anywhere, people are like, what can we do? And what is the next step? Where do you need us to show up? And they're still ready. The community is still ready to get up and show up wherever they're needed, just like they were the day of the hearing. We had three different rooms, and they were all filled to capacity because the community wanted to be there. They wanted to be part of this. And I'm humble. I'm humbled. This is all for them. I would not have ran for office if I did not see the need. So this is all for the voters of this city.
I'd like to take a moment to thank Anid Santiago, candidate for the 22nd District of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, for joining us here on WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Thank you for having me.
There is more to this story. Please join us for the conclusion of this special report Thursday at 5:44 p.m. during All Things Considered. For WDIY News, James Johnson reporting.